Thank you, Rob. It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for our monthly segment called How to Improve Blank. It's a segment that takes a look at the big tickets of our time, ticket items of our time, politics, money, technology, even specific stuff like how to improve rabbit repellent. You know, we're going to need some ideas on that. Last month, we did government efficiency. Tonight, we take on transportation, whether it be infrastructure improvements, traffic congestion, airports, or public transportation. This issue is one that always is in need of improvement. So how do we do it? It's not just about the money, but it's about foresight, planning. Your ideas on how to improve transportation, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call. Mary Sue Barrett, president of the Metropolitan Planning Council, is in studio with me. Welcome back to The Download. Good to see you.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, so let's talk transportation. July actually is a good month to talk about this because at the end of the session, we saw some movement when it came to resources that were going to be provided for at least infrastructure when it comes to transportation.
Well, that's partially right. Not real resources that you can grab and put in your pocket, but
a tool
to get more resources. So the idea is called value capture, which is just a fancy term for if you improve the infrastructure, guess what? People are going to want to build and invest and locate by that. And so that will result in higher real estate values. Can we capture a portion of that to help pay for the infrastructure on the front end? So it's kind of projecting ahead, grabbing those resources to help fund transportation.
Now, this is all because the federal government essentially said, we'll help you with infrastructure, but you got to match it.
That's right. That's always the deal and a tough deal, especially when your state doesn't have a budget. So there have been resources that have been ours for the asking for one of the major projects that listeners have undoubtedly heard about is the CTA's modernization of the Red and Purple Line along the North Lakefront. Well, that's about a $4 billion project. Mm. There are resources in Washington, but you need that match locally, and there was no source. So this action at the end of June is very good news. It will help both that Red-Purple Line project and also Union Station, the Blue Line along the Eisenhower, and a possibility of the Red Line extension south. So four projects were called out in that piece of legislation. It still needs to jump through a couple hoops to get authorized, but it's a tool we didn't have a couple weeks ago.
Before this, and just to give a little background as we try to figure out how to improve transportation, what were the normal ways that we would fund transportation or infrastructure needs?
Well, there's still the way we need to fund it. So transportation user fees is the main concept here, both at the federal level and at the state level. So at the state level, that's been the gas tax and motor vehicle registration fees. So
okay.
I know people love to talk about the gas tax, but here's something that maybe you haven't thought about. It has not been raised since 1991. Name me one thing in your life that the price has stayed the same for all those years.
Wow. So that 1991, we're doing all this complaining about taxes and gas tax or gas prices going up
down. Well, you might see the price at the pump go up.
Right.
But those dollars are not helping fix your roads. Mm. They're going to the oil companies. So it's been stuck at 19 cents. And meanwhile, more than 30 states, we've been bypassed by other states who have taken action, either already or in the next, are pending right now. And Illinois has not been one of those. So there are a number of ideas kicking around. And one of the things that the Metropolitan Planning Council has tried to contribute to this conversation is let's get our arms around what this costs. If we really wanted to catch up with roads in good shape and transit systems that worked, just the maintenance and a few key projects that there's broad agreement on, like that Red-Purple Line, what does it cost?
Right.
Drum roll, $43 billion over 10 years. So that is the number that there's at least agreement that that's what we need to shoot for.
That's the number we need to get back up to speed to be sort of at the level in which 18 other states or whatever the number of states are at in terms of infrastructure resources.
Absolutely. And if you're sick and tired of paying for that that pop tire that hit the pothole or an axle that broke, those are hundreds and hundreds of dollars of repair. And when you compare that to this 19 cents a gallon, we actually would be ahead if we actually sucked it up, invested in something that we know is going to help the economy.
Mary Sue, you know, you hear so many people complain, and they might be listening right now saying, well, you know what, it's obvious that we have the money, because if I travel on any of our expressways or even Michigan Avenue, I'm going to see orange signs up to say construction in progress, repairs being done. There's obviously this season is when we see multiple construction projects. Is that a sign that we have the money for it, that we're actually being progressive and looking forward and when it comes to planning for things like roads and repair?
No, but I understand why that's confusing. There's dollars that are raised through a variety of sources, including the federal and the local sources, and there are projects that have been in the pipeline for many years that are just now playing out. But basically, we're emptying out the bank account, and when you put things on hold, as the recent state budget, until we finally figured out the temporary, which is not a good thing, but at least a temporary budget, right. There were a whole bunch of state road projects and bridges and so forth that were going to have to be put on hold. If you lay off crews, that's obviously real people with real jobs, also just a huge cost to restart that whole logistical process. So it's what you want is predictability in funding your infrastructure, and it's exactly what we haven't had. So let me put out a number just to get people thinking.
Love it. Love the numbers.
If we if we wanted to catch up and get back on track, giving people choices and options of how to travel, that gas tax would need to be raised, if we just looked at the transportation user fees, by 30 cents a gallon, so from 19 to 49 cents. And
this is never going to happen.
Well, let me finish.
That's 30 cents.
And the motor vehicle registration fee increased by 50%. I know that sounds like a lot. But what you are paying today on your lost productivity, time, extra gas because you're sitting there idling in traffic is actually more than what you would pay
if
we invested.
But this is, again, this is part of the problem of the way that we do government in the state of Illinois, that it's very difficult to find sources of revenue because we've taxed to the max and we've had a lot of different we talked about government efficiency last time around. So, I mean, maybe in a perfect world, the idea of going 30 cents up on a gas tank per gallon plus 50% up.
Let me translate that, right? Because it sounds like a lot on a gallon basis. It ends up being about $150 a year.
Okay.
So if you have that car repair and it costs you $500, but this, which is, you know, a $12 a month or so, is the alternative, and what you get is getting to your destination on time, a transit system that's more pleasant and reliable, all of those things that add to keep dollars in your pocket. And so I think it's almost like flipping the way we think about this. I don't want to pay that.
Right.
Point out to people that, well, you are paying for it and you're not getting anything.
Mary Sue Barrett's the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Quick question, everybody. 312-981-7200. Just text it in. Would you pay 30 cents more per gallon if it were a gas tax that went to infrastructure to fix the roads and other issues when it comes to Chicago area transportation?
Here's one thing that I think people will help with the confidence building. I realize confidence is very shaky. At the November ballot, there's going to be a referendum question about whether any new dollars raised should be put in a lockbox. Mm-hmm. I'm going on a limb here. I predict that that's going to get a lot of support and it will pass easily because that's what people are fearful of. If we raise it, if we find the backbone to do this, then
we'll spend it somewhere else
and they'll get swept and diverted. So this is about fixing
that. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. And I want to talk about the other issues too, traffic congestion and then also public transportation, because we've got about 10 minutes left. We'll take a real quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation, how to improve transportation, with Mary Sue Barrett. Stay with us. It's a download here. We're talking how to improve transportation, 312-981-7200. All right, let's talk about traffic congestion. There's some people on the line. We'll get to some revenue questions coming up here. Traffic congestion is obviously something that has always had a problem here in the Chicago area, going both ways now. The reverse commute is no longer a thing. It is essentially jam-packed. If you are a commuter, one way or the other, coming in on any of the expressways to downtown or even to the suburbs, you're seeing a long wait. Is there any way to avoid that? I feel like that is something that politicians have tried by widening roads, and nothing seems to make a dent. What can we do about traffic congestion in this area?
It is definitely not one easy answer. In the Chicago region, what we've seen is an explosion of different patterns of living and working. There's still twice as many jobs in the suburbs as there are in the city, and yet only 1% of the suburban commuters are able to use transit. So overall, it's 8% of the total regional population that use transit on a regular basis to get to work. But when you think about the central area, the loop, it's 2/3. So when you have a really workable transit system with reliability and frequency and, you know, where people can feel safe, not always get a seat, but it works, people will take it. And so what we need to look at is not just the transportation fix, but the how we grow. So if there's more incentives, think about all of the senior citizens, all of the single person households, all of the young people. We're generally not building the kind of homes, condos and apartments by transit that people want. There's a, not everyone, but there's a lot of folks that don't want to use a car, and that's not just a city phenomenon. So I suggest the solution to our traffic problem is in part building different communities.
Oh, really? So finding a way to build different communities that are going to be more progressive and integrated with transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we just don't have that. A lot of communities are like, well, there's a train, it's on the outskirts of town, or there's one train, there's not enough seats. You're talking about can we almost expand our communities
and think about planning.
Yeah.
It's good for the people who only can drive because it's fewer people competing for road space. It's also good for your pocketbook. It costs $10,000 or more dollars a year to own a car, just the costs of operating with insurance and all that. So when you think about stabilizing people's personal financial situation and building wealth, giving people an option to live in a transit-friendly community, we actually are losing population in the city of Chicago around our transit system, which is crazy.
All right, so we heard it here first. Orland Park, you're going to have to move. You're just out. We're taking you to a whole different town. We're making a whole new town for Orland
Park. Not necessarily. Orland has great transit. We need to take advantage of the transit that serves our suburbs.
Okay, so, I mean, is there... That's a great way to put it, because for me, you know, we talked a lot about the numbers and what it would take in the current system for us to really think about how to improve. Is Chicago and the surrounding area really in a position where they can start from scratch? I mean, once you start, I mean, I always see this like we're expanding the red line. We're gonna you know, expand the metro line. These are old lines. Is there any way to say, okay, you know what? Let's put our head together for 20 years here and completely strip it out and put new transit in for the next 100 to 200 years?
It sounds pretty appealing, but it's very hard to wipe that slate clean. A transit new subway line in an already developed area is just mind-blowingly expensive. So you do occasionally hear about those proposals, but more often when you look at other cities, the lesson to take is to experiment. So in Chicago, we have this new Loop Link, which just opened
like
this winter. It's still an experimental, you know, working out the kinks phase. But
I have to say, as a rider, as a driver and a bus rider on the number 20 bus that comes in, when I'm on Madison, the traffic is a little bit easier.
That's
when
idea.
You're driving, and when the buses are able to fly right through there, so there actually seems to be some anecdotal improvement in that system.
Well, and a lot of folks are surprised to hear how many people that are traveling up and down Ashland Avenue or Lakeshore Drive are in buses. It's a huge percentage, sometimes 50%. So when you get into that debate about, boy, can we afford to take a lane of traffic, as was true with Washington and Madison for the bus rapid transit called Loop Link, or as proposed along Ashland, again, people get a little agitated. But if it means that all of the traffic moves easier and that for some people, like think of the 75,000 people that go to the Illinois Medical District every day,
right
off Ashland, if they had a more convenient transit option, everything would work better.
So it's about finding an area that we know is overpopulated or at least being traveled well and finding transportation options for that area.
Yes. And this idea of a rapid bus can work in a suburb to suburb setting where the cost of a train is just not going to happen.
All right, let's go rapid fire because I got a lot of texts here. Okay, so we're going to go right through this. 847 says, yes, I would do a gas tax. 773 says, ask Shell, BP, and Exxon for all their windfall profits. 312 says no. So why does Indiana have a balanced budget and they are flourishing? I don't know if that is one-to-one, but something to think about. 312 says no gas tax. The proposal is geographically prejudiced and does not benefit the rest of the state outside of the major metro regions.
Well, one of the things we have to remember as a state is that the economic engine that pays for everything starts here in this region. It's 80% of the tax revenues, the jobs, the economic punch comes for this region. So we have to invest in the infrastructure. Otherwise, we can't afford to support good things happening in communities everywhere. So that's not about starving downstate. It's about being fair.
7630 says, why don't we pay for the roads by taking the politicians' pensions? That's probably not going to happen. 630 says they want 50 more for every plate sticker. It doubled a few years ago. And drugs have stayed the same price for 30 years. I don't know what kind of drugs they're talking about, but okay.
And our memories sometimes are short. The last time the motor vehicle registration fee was raised was 1999. So again, for the price of your Netflix subscription every month, you can have good transportation.
312 says no to the gas tax. Major regions absorb a higher cost of living adjustment through increased wages. The tax should only be imposed through tolls and fare rate hikes for mass transit. Wow. That was articulate.
Yeah, and actually that person's on to a discussion to watch, which is that maybe more and more of our roads everywhere are going to be toll roads in the future.
Yeah, right.
Pay as you go.
There you go. Pay as you go. 312, Keith says, O'Hare Express trains, upgrade Blue Line to include high-level monorail, connect O'Hare Metro platform, electrify all Metra. There's a lot going on there.
A lot of great ideas. And I think if we invite people into the conversation about if we had more resources, what would we want to fix, we'd get lots of great ideas about connecting growth and infrastructure.
Well, it just means we got to do it again because we're out of time. Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. This is our monthly segment we do together on how to improve. We'll do a different topic next week, but I think that's the point. We'll come back. People are geared up because I think transportation is one of those issues that obviously we can talk about it all night. So Mary Sue, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Good segment there, how to improve transportation. I love how I'm like, we'll just do that one from 7:35 to 8. We'll get it all done. We'll wrap it up. Problem solved. Next time we do that topic specifically, we should open it up and do the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock hour, try to do a whole hour, because the amount of people that have responded on text, I mean, there's 30, 35 texts. There's people on the line. People really care about transportation issues. And I think it's a great idea to ask the question. We're not politicians. We're citizens just like you. Would you accept a tax that you know exactly what that money was being used for? Because that's always the issue with taxes. You're like, oh, we're raising a property tax for schools, sort of. And you're like, wait, you still need money? So that's a good thing. And I for one, feel like that might be a smart move to raise a gas tax if it specifically went to infrastructure projects in the state of Illinois.
But then how do you hold them accountable? That's the thing, because they can change midstream. Going toward that, but we need money over here.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
Then that's the next step. I would say electroshock therapy, some sort. That's like if you take that money out and it goes anywhere else, you get a shock. We still got to work that part out, right?